Let's reflect a little bit on these readings in light of yesterday's readings and also yesterday's and today's saints. I hope I can weave this together. Remember, yesterday's saint was Saint Cyril of Alexandria, a witness to, a defender of the truth about Jesus, true God and true man, both divine and human. Today's saint is Saint Irenaeus, Irenaeus of Lyon. He is a much earlier than Cyril. Like I said, he lived in the 2nd century, martyred at the beginning of the 3rd century. One of Irenaeus's most famous quotes is, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Or at least it's popular nowadays. The glory of God is man fully alive. Another translation of that in today's Office of Readings goes like this. Life in man is the glory of God. Life in man is the glory of God. The life of man is the vision of God. I've preached on this before, maybe even on the feast of Saint Irenaeus. I don't remember when. But let's start with that. The glory of God is man fully alive. In recent times, that has been interpreted in a very human way, a humanistic way, as if to say, to give glory to God is to be a really put together, well-developed person. So if you're a successful businessman and you're an accomplished tennis player and you have an advanced degree, well, then you're fully alive, and that's giving glory to God. You have a popular Twitter account and plenty of money and you're really influential in the world, well, then you're fully alive. And of course, there's something to that. We're supposed to develop. Our gifts are supposed to bear fruit for society, but you can see it's a very worldly definition of what it means to be fully alive, and therefore a very worldly definition of what it means to be giving glory to God. So it's a bit of a distortion of what Saint Irenaeus really means when he says the glory of God is man fully alive, or life in man is the glory of God. You see, the life that we're talking about is not just our human earthly life. The life is the life that God has in mind in creating us. You might think of that passage, and it's related to this, where Jesus in John's Gospel says, "I came that they may have life and have it to the full." So what's fullness of life? What's abundant life? It doesn't mean abundant money and popularity and success. It means to be fully who God created us to be. So if we are fully ourselves, as God intended, then we're giving glory to God. Just like every other creature. Every creature gives glory to God by being itself. The difference when it comes to the human person is that we have a decision. So a rock or a plant or an animal, they give glory to God simply by being what they are. And they don't have any choice. That's why I can't complain about our sound system, because it's just working the way it does. It doesn't have any will. But when it comes to the human person, because we have to decide whether to be who we are, whether we have to decide whether to follow God or not, well, then that's where the difference between whether we give glory to God or not comes in. Okay. So that's, now, when it comes to Jesus, Jesus himself is the man fully alive. Jesus himself is the one who gives perfect glory to God, because he is God and man. It goes back to what Saint Cyril was so fierce about defending the truth about God, about Jesus, God and man. Now, remember, in yesterday's gospel and Sunday's gospel, Jesus made this distinction between the foxes and the birds on one hand and the Son of Man on the other hand. Well, not like the foxes who have their dens and the birds who have their nests. I have nowhere to rest my head. That's what Jesus said in yesterday's and Sunday's Gospels. And reflecting on that, in light of the two natures of Jesus, I tried to make this point yesterday, insofar as he is God, he has nowhere to rest his head because there's no place that can contain the full mystery of God. Insofar as he is man, he has no place to rest his head because he is living in poverty. He doesn't own a house. He doesn't own a bed. It doesn't mean that he doesn't sleep. It means that he is living in this lowly condition, which he has willfully taken on, freely taken on. Yesterday, I happened to throw out the idea that Jesus doesn't sleep very much. He has to sleep because he has a human nature, but he doesn't sleep very much. And the only passage I could think of was when he fell asleep in the boat. And when I saw this and looked at this gospel last night, I had to laugh. Here it is, Jesus sleeping in the boat. He doesn't have any place to rest his head, and here he is sleeping in the boat. Now, when Jesus falls asleep in a boat, you can look at it from the perspective of his divine nature and of his human nature. From the perspective of his divine nature, he is revealing God to his disciples here and to us. He's showing them something that they don't have to be afraid. He's revealing that nothing disturbs God. He can't be overcome by a storm. He has absolute peace. He is peace. Looking at it from the human perspective, and Jesus has a human nature, maybe he was just exhausted. And that's probably what happened. And when he said in yesterday's gospel, the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head, maybe he was thinking, I can't wait till I can lie down and get a little rest, because that's a human experience. Maybe he was revealing the nature of man too. It's important to sleep. You don't have to have a comfortable bed, just have to have a little rest. So here's Jesus. He said in yesterday's gospel, let's cross over to the other side, because there was a big crowd. So he probably was reaching his human limit and saying, okay, let's get away from the crowd, go to the other shore, gets into the boat, lies down, falls asleep. Okay, so you see what I'm doing here. I'm trying to get the insight of St. Cyril about Jesus, God and man, the insight of St. Irenaeus, what it means to be giving glory to God, what it means to be a man fully alive. Jesus is the model of being fully alive. Our difficulty with this is that we think being fully alive and giving glory to God means everything will go well for us. We think it means we won't have storms or persecutions or illnesses or anything. And that's not what it means. Obviously, that's not what it means, because Jesus himself did not live a life without problems. And he's fully alive and he's giving glory to the Father. So if we're fully alive giving glory to the Father, it doesn't mean we're going to have no problems. But that idea keeps creeping into us. So here the apostles, the boat is being really swamped by waves. It is a dangerous moment, and they have a natural fear, anyone would. Jesus doesn't address their natural fear. He says, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? So the problem is not that they're terrified. The problem is that they have little faith. Everybody has fears. That's part of being human. Jesus himself experienced the emotion of fear. So, okay, faith goes deeper than emotions. It undercuts the possibility that our emotions will throw us off track. Faith is more secure, and that's why he's correcting them. You are of little faith. If you have greater faith, you would know what to do with your fear. You would depend on me, depend on God. And then he shows them, he proves to them, that they have no reason to be overwhelmed with fear because he has power over the storm. He calms the wind, the sea, and they are amazed. Who is this? What sort of man is this? Who is this who can just say to the winds, be calm, and they're calm? The waves calm down. Who can do that? No man can do that. Only God can do that. And this is what Jesus reveals. Here he is, a man sleeping in a boat, who is also God, who controls the winds and the waves. Now, let's continue with this idea that being fully alive, or being alive in God, gives him glory, and it doesn't mean no problems. I want to reflect on this in light of today's first reading, where the prophet Amos is pronouncing a very severe judgment over the people of Israel. This line is what stood out for me. God saying to the people through the prophet, "You alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your crimes." To us, that doesn't make sense. We say, well, if you want to favor us more than all the families of the earth, well, then you should give us abundant blessings and a peaceful, enjoyable life. But here it says, I have favored you, therefore I will punish you for all your crimes. Doesn't make sense to us unless we understand why God punishes. He punishes because he favors us. He punishes because he wants us to have the fullness of life, and it's our sins that are preventing that very gift. So when we turn away from him, when we have little faith, or when we have attachments to worldly things or to sins, then we have to be corrected, which is the same thing as being punished in God's eyes. We have to be purified, have to be set free, liberated. It's all the same. What we experience as punishment, as suffering, God sees as a way of drawing us into the fullness of life, to be fully alive. And that gives glory to God. So Amos is saying the reason why you have to suffer all these things is because you keep wandering away. In our own experience then, we have ups and downs. Problems, problems, problems. Those problems are not an obstacle to giving glory to God. They are our way of giving glory to God. When we are fully alive, we're alive in God. When we're fully alive, we're living in faith, in dependence on him, not in our attachments and our worldly goals. Fully alive means alive with the life God has in mind for us. So whether we're having problems or not, the idea is, the goal of God is, that we have the abundant life that he has for us. That's, I think, what we can take from today's readings and from today's saint. We ask Saint Irenaeus to pray for us so that we will understand this principle of the life that God has for us, the abundant life God has for us, which gives him glory.